Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. And on this week's show, we'll be talking about the Touch Memo Digital Recording System.
We'll meet Tina Hansen, who's a happy user, and she'll give us some great descriptions and demonstrations. And then at the end, for our high-tech segment, we'll talk about using Skype or a cell phone camera to ask a friend what something is if you don't happen to have one of these handy digital audio labeling systems yourself. But first, to our tip of the week. This week's tip is use the labeling technique that's best for not just you, but also for the situation.
And there's lots of ways of labeling things around the house. And of course, if you're visually impaired, you sometimes don't know what things are and what cans might be which CDs might be which, whose toothbrush might be which. We found a way of solving that one.
Oh, we use rubber bands everywhere. Pete has a rubber band on his, and that works for everything. It's not just the toothbrush, but if it's got a rubber band, it's his.
Well, and I actually use that for some of my eye drops, too. If I have similar bottles that feel the same to me, I'll put a rubber band around one so I know which bottle of eye drops that is, and the one without the rubber band is a different eye drop.
And then if a rubber band won't fit around something and you need to label it, we use other things. So we've got stick-on Braille labels on the microwave so he can thaw his own bagel or boil his own water. And then for the washer and dryer, we don't really need to know what the settings say. He just needs to know how far to turn the dial so we have a random raised bump that's not as sophisticated as full-fledged Braille, but it's perfectly workable and easy to tell where to turn the knob to.
The way we make those Braille labels, by the way, is pretty simple. We buy the regular labeling tape that's used in print labelers. And then if you have an ordinary slate and stylus, usually they have little slots on the side and you can slip the labeling tape through that and have the labeling tape show up in one row of cells on your Braille slate. And then you can punch out whatever little labels you want. So that's how we label the microwave and the dishwasher and the washing machine.
And then because I actually care what it looks like, depending on what color the object is, we'll either use a color of tape that matches the object, so maybe black tape on a black object, or if not, they make the tape in a transparent variety, and that doesn't show up very much either.
One other suggestion that Tina passed along to me was that there is a book called Label It that is available in audio format from the National Library Service. So if you're a member of the NLS or subscribe to their BARD download service, you can download that, and it has a number of creative ways for labeling items around the house.
That would be handy. Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll meet Tina Hansen.
My name is Tina Hansen, and I live in Salem, Oregon. I just graduated from my local community college with a general studies degree, and I'm hoping to find a job, and I don't know exactly what yet, but I'm hoping to find something that will pay me.
I gather you're visually impaired?
I'm blind, yes.
And what's the nature of that? The cause?
I am totally blind. I don't know. I think it was... I don't remember.
So you've been blind since you were little?
Yeah.
I guess people don't attend schools for the blind anymore.
No, but I did both.
You went to a school for the blind as well as?
I attended both a school for the blind and a public school.
Oh, and how long did you do that?
Well, I did public school for pretty much straight through high school, then a school for the blind for 3 years afterwards to get some additional training.
So you obviously know Braille and use speech synthesizers.
Yes.
We first met Tina. She wrote to us at contact@viewpointsplus.net with a show idea. And through her mail note, she suggested that she would like to see a show on the Touch Memo because she was using it quite successfully and really enjoyed the product and wanted more people to know about it. So we wrote back to her, and she was actually kind enough to do much of the demos herself, and we did some of the post-editing, and then we called her up and talked to her in person, and it was quite an interesting interaction, and I think you'll enjoy what she put together.
We encourage our listeners to contact us with good ideas for shows, and if we agree it's a good idea, well, we'll do a show on your idea too.
You are listening to Viewpoints.
This week's focus topic, as we've mentioned, is the Touch Memo digital audio labeling system, complete with occasional references to the PenFriend, which we demonstrated in show number 1139. And you can find all of the old shows in the archives at our website, www.viewpointsplus.net. So let's start with a description of the Touch Memo.
This unit is very simple to operate, regardless of whether or not you know Braille or you have any interest in high technology. It's basically an audio labeler, and you can use it to label anything around the house, around your office, or at school. The Touch Memo is basically about the size of a pen, and it has only three operating buttons. Those are power, delete, and record. The power button turns the unit on and off. The delete button is used to delete labels that you're either not happy with or you're not going to need any longer. And the record button is actually used to create the labels. On the side, you do have additional controls. You have the volume control to raise or lower the volume of the audio. And then you also have a hold switch, which is used to ensure that you don't accidentally turn the unit on when you're going places, when you're traveling, or just when you have the unit in storage. And you also have jacks for a headset or an external mic.
It sounds like a very simple and cleanly designed device. It's nice to have a device that's actually simple and not too many functions. Some of these devices these days have so many functions and menus and buttons that it's just so confusing to use and learn that you just never get around to it. But this sounds like it's made for a single purpose, very easy to use, and shouldn't be a big barrier.
Another similar system is the PenFriend from RNIB, and Tina actually has a lot of experience working with both, so we asked her what some of the major differences are.
I've tried both the PenFriend and the Touch Memo, and I noticed that they're very similar to operate, but they had little differences that I think set them apart.
Could you elaborate on the differences?
Yes, I think the big difference, the PenFriend, it does have the MP3 capability, which I don't need because I have enough MP3 players. Why have another one? And the PenFriend, you don't have as much memory because you've got only 1 gigabyte of memory, but with the Touch Memo, you're given 2.
Is that the only basic difference between the two?
The memory and the fact that the Touch Memo does not do MP3, it is only a voice labeler. I think the big one, though, that did it for me was the sound quality of the labels on the Touch Memo. It's very clear. The PenFriend, I thought, sounded rather distorted.
So I learned from the AFB article in Access World and also from some follow-up interactions that they had with the manufacturers that one of the differences is that the Touch Memo uses WAV files versus the MP3 files that the PenFriend uses. So this comes to play in several different ways. In one thing, it's responsible for the higher quality voice recordings that you get on the Touch Memo. But then the downside is that the files are individually larger for the same amount of recorded time. So although there's twice as much memory in the Touch Memo as there is in the PenFriend, there's not nearly twice as much time that you're able to record in the Touch Memo. You get longer recording capability, but it's only an extra maybe 20 or 30% instead of double with double the memory. But, you know, that's a trade-off you make. Do you want to be able to play MP3s or do you want the higher quality voice recording? Both the PenFriend and the Touch Memo consist of this pen-sized device and then individual stick-on labels that they provide for various purposes.
You get three types of labels with this unit. You get tactile labels, which you can use to label just about anything you can think of. You also get basic labels, which you can use on CDs and other small objects. And you get washable labels, which you use for clothing. These are self-adhesive labels, so they will stay on the object. And you can reuse the labels indefinitely. All you need to do is, when you're done with something, you can record over the label, and then you can affix it to something else.
So again, very simple to use and very flexible depending on what you want to label. You can label almost anything around your house, and Tina will show us some of that.
And the clothing labels can actually go through the laundry system, so that's convenient if you want to sew it onto the tag of your shirt. Then it's labeled until you get rid of the shirt. Another feature of both systems is that they actually use a real human voice.
The Touch Memo, since it is a voice labeler, it works like a digital voice recorder. It does not use a synthesizer to aid with the labeling, but it uses your voice, or you can use a friend, or if you're lucky, you can get a celebrity voice talent.
I like the way she talks about a celebrity voice talent. I can picture some movie star making your messages for you. But I think what she means by that is sometimes she'll go shopping through the store with a friend, and her friend will actually speak what's on some of the labels, and that'll be her celebrity voice. So there are many ways of becoming famous.
And that works great because, you know, if you're visually impaired and you bring a sighted companion to the store with you, well, just bring your labeling system along at the same time, put the label on the can, and your friend can tell you, this one's peas, this one's applesauce, and you've got the label right there, and you don't have to go home and review the whole thing.
Well, and it's also nice that it's portable and doesn't require any power supply, and so you really can just carry it to the store. It's not a big hassle. Just stick it in your pocket.
Here's Tina showing us how it works.
I'm going to go ahead and press and hold the power button to turn the unit on. And that is the sound the unit makes when it is being powered up. You can label pretty much anything, food, clothing, you name it. One thing that I know a lot of people, if you're blind or visually impaired, you sometimes have trouble knowing what it is, are food items. This happens to be a frozen dinner. I don't know what this dinner is, but I can find out. In order to do that, all you need to do is touch the tip of this pen-sized unit to the label, and it will tell you what your dinner is.
Lean Cuisine, steak tips, portobello. Remove tray from box, cut film cover to vent, cook on high, 4 minutes and 30 seconds. Let stand in microwave for 1 to 2 minutes. Enjoy.
So at least I know what I'm going to be eating tonight.
Boy, it used to be that you had to open every can in the house to find the right can that you wanted to eat for that night. It's great to know there are easier ways of doing that. And also, it was kind of neat, you noticed that whoever read this to Tina read the cooking directions and a little bit more about the item than just the name.
This raised another question. I'm curious. You say you keep talking about using them for frozen dinners, which of course are a big convenience. So let's say you buy a box of lasagna and you eat it and you buy another box of lasagna. Can you take the same sticker from the Touch Memo off of the one box and put it on the new box so you don't have to start over recording a new one?
Yes, and that's the way it is with both of these. You can have it recorded once and then you just transfer the label to the new box. And actually what I like to do is use a Ziploc bag because, and this is a tip for anybody that's labeling anything, you can use a Ziploc bag for anything so that the label can last. That way you don't have to worry about having to record it over again or braille it over again or whatever. It's very convenient that way.
That was a clever idea to make these things last a little bit longer. Put things inside of a plastic bag.
And here's Tina showing us how to create a new recorded label.
Recording a label is just as easy as playing it. All you need to do is press and hold the record button and then point the pen tip at the label. And when it comes into contact, you can say your message. And then when you're done, release it. So I have a DVD here that I happen to know what it is. And I'm going to create a label for it. So I'm going to bring the touch memo down towards the label and record my label. A bit of a blue. This was a talk given by Jim Martin of Salem, Oregon, at the Oregon Historical Society in Portland.
A bit of a blue. This was a talk given by Jim Martin of Salem, Oregon, at the Oregon Historical Society in Portland.
Well, Tina's right. That voice was very clear when she recorded back. And it was also, as you can see, very simple to use. It was no hassle at all. It was very quick, and you can record virtually whatever you want.
And the ability to record long passages enables some really interesting applications that might not be possible with just, you know, a Braille stick-on label or a rubber band or whatever, and may not even have been envisioned by the manufacturer.
Yeah, we don't put too much information on our Braille labels. They take up a lot of space.
One of the more unusual things that I've done with the Touch Memo is to actually note the schedules of the Metropolitan Opera broadcasts that are coming up. I'm a bit of an opera lover, and I have Sirius XM satellite radio, and one of the channels is Met Opera Radio, and they have live broadcasts from the Metropolitan Opera 3 times a week. I wanted to note the ones that are coming up so that I would know when they were, and I'd be able to set my schedule accordingly. So I have used my Touch Memo to note the schedules. So what's coming up this Saturday?
Saturday, March 3rd, 10 a.m., Verdi, Aida.
And I haven't noted just that, but I've noted the rest of the week and the rest of the season. So next week, I have 3 shows scheduled.
Monday, March 5th, 4:30 p.m., Donizetti, L'Isère d'Amore. Tuesday, March 6th, 4 p.m., Mussorgsky, Kovanchina. Saturday, March 10th, 9 a.m., Mozart, Don Giovanni.
So that's what's coming up for at least the rest of this week and all of next week.
So that's a really clever application and shows the versatility of this device. I mean, not only is it useful for labeling items around the house, but also for keeping little notes, making your calendar, and there's a lot of flexibility here.
And here's another use you can get out of it based on the long recording time.
There's no limit on the recording time for these labels, so you can really go into great detail. To show that, I have a CD, and the first label is basically the title.
Air, Isle of the Saints, A Celtic Odyssey by John Doane.
But you can also have another label that gives you the song list.
Where Horses of Faery Hide, Yeats County, Where William Lies, Wake, Waiting for the Dawn, Old Church of Killoran.
But you don't have to limit yourself to this. I wanted access to the program notes for this CD, and I didn't want to have to waste space with Braille paper. Fortunately, I was able to do that. And because you don't have a limit on your recording time for these labels, you can go as long as you need. This one's quite long. I'm not going to play it all, but I'll play enough to give you an idea of what you can do.
Ayr is a land where the past still lives and myth and mystery reign. Many old Irish ways and traditions have remained unchanged for 1,000 years.
And the label goes on to explain a little bit about the album.
Yeah, clearly, if you had to braille up all of that and stuff it inside the CD case, that wouldn't really be feasible. Most of our CD labels are just the name, in fact, even the contracted name of the CD, but little more information. So this is really great and really handy. And, you know, as you can see, Tina really makes use of the capabilities of this device in very clever ways. So I noticed from your demos that you really seem to have integrated this device into your life. I mean, you go to the supermarket with it and have other people record what's on the cans and boxes that you buy. It's very interesting.
That's right. And I like that because it's so portable. You know, I have read about the barcode scanners, and the barcode scanners certainly are nice, but unfortunately, I think most people in the blind community can't afford them. So what are they going to do? And that's what I like about these units, because they're still high tech, but you don't have to worry about trying to find a barcode, or you don't have to carry this big hurricane thing around when you go to the store.
And the devices she's talking about here are some of the more expensive barcode units that are specifically made for the blind. They may plug into some of the portable PDAs for the blind. These generally cost about $1,000 or more, and they have much of the information of products already built in. So they can actually scan the barcodes on a can of peas, for example, and they'll know the manufacturer and all the cooking details. And again, all that information is preloaded. But this device sort of skips all that and just recognizes the little tag she puts on things and associates it with a memo that she or a friend will record.
We asked her for some tips for using the touch memo.
I think that another one would be to use index cards if you need to, because I find 3x5 or 4x6 note cards useful for recording things like phone numbers or notes about appointments and so forth. Another tip, and I have this as a creative planner tool that I have one idea that I thought that would be interesting. You can use a pillbox for a planner, because that way you can do it. It's portable, and I've been using the voice labeler with it because it allows for being able to see where I have downtime, because unfortunately some of the calendar software and so on that I've seen, it's either you have to be near your computer or it's too big or it's within a note taker that you can't afford.
And why does Tina think these labeling systems are so popular?
I think that these units have taken off because they're very simple to operate. You don't have to worry about all these menus. You don't have to go through a lot of complicated menus just to make things happen. And, you know, they're designed to do labeling well. They're not one of those like the iPhone where it has to be everything. It has to do everything well. Also, affordability. I think that's a big one, too, because, I mean, this is $179. It's very affordable because the barcode scanners, I would say, what a lot of people don't get that because it's too expensive, $1,200. And most people can't afford that, especially if they're unemployed. Portability is a big one because they're so lightweight. You know, you can easily fit them in your backpack, your purse, and your pocket. They look like pens to an observer. Flexibility is a big one because, you know, if you try to buy a barcode scanner and you try to read the stuff off of it, you can get a lot of information that maybe you don't want. So with this, you have a lot more control over what you want your label to say, whether you do it yourself or you get a voice talent to do it. And versatility, because, you know, you can use these labels for pretty much anything. Notes to yourself, notes about appointments, or anything, not just labeling stuff around the house. And I like the fact that the labels are subtle. They're very subtle because they don't have, I mean, they're not neon signs. They're obvious to me as the user, but most people would probably just think, oh, it's a sticker. What's it doing on there? They don't realize that there's something connected to it until they see it in action. And then unlimited recording time, we just touched on that, because you don't have to worry about trying to get everything in, and it's like, oh, it keeps cutting me off. I hate that. And modular labeling, and I tried to show that. You know, if you have a CD with a lot of information, you don't want to have the whole thing in one big file and you're trying to find what you want. You can break it down. And I love that because you don't have to worry about finding the stuff. And then the last reason, high tech and high touch, because they don't use a built-in synthesizer. It uses your voice or the friend or your voice talent. So I think those are the big reasons these units have taken off in the way they have, and why they've really gotten so popular within the blindness community.
So there's a really glowing endorsement of the device. She's clearly makes great use of that device, and she doesn't even work for the company.
Right. And if you want to contact the company to get more information or even to purchase a touch memo, that's VisionQ. And you can find them at www.visionq.com. That's VisionQue, all one word. or you can call them within the United States at area code 888-318-2582. If you're interested in the PenFriend, that's distributed by many companies that provide products for people with various disabilities, and we found it at Independent Living Aids and Maxi Aids, and you can also get it directly from the Royal National Institute for the Blind, which developed it, and we will have all of those links on our website. Now for this week's high-tech item. If you don't have one of these labeling devices, you can use Skype to ask a friend what something is.
And we accidentally fell into this one day when Nancy was out of the house and I was home baking some bread. And it turned out my container of flour was empty and I needed to open a new bag of flour. Well, I didn't know which bag that was left in the cabinet was white flour or wheat flour, and the bread needed to be done. We had some company coming over, and Nancy was gone, and how was I going to figure this out? I didn't have a pen friend to tell me. And I got the clever idea of using Skype and the video capabilities of Skype to call a friend and just hold up various bags of flour and say which is which. So we thought this was kind of an innovative way. Many people have Skype. You can download it on your computer. Just go to www.skype.com and look for the appropriate version for your operating system. It's very easy to use. In fact, if you're using JAWS, there are special JAWS scripts available for making Skype a little bit easier to use. And we'll provide the download links in our show notes for that. So I thought that was kind of interesting and got me out of a bind at the time. And if you're not comfortable with running Skype, it turns out that recently GW Micro, the maker of Window Eyes, has developed an application that plugs into Skype. The Skype people have actually distributed an SDK that others can use to make sort of third-party applications to plug into the Skype service. And this is what GW Micro did to make their GW Connect. This is an application that they developed that's very screen reader and blind friendly that plugs into the Skype service. So all you need is a Skype account and you can use this application. Now, I've never used it myself and I'd be interested to hear other users who have used it and hear about their experiences, but I've heard good things from some of the DLs that I've been on about it. So you might try that.
As always, if you missed any of the links or phone numbers we've given, they're all in the show notes, which you can find at our website, www.viewpointsplus.net. That's it for show 1220. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking with Jose Tamayo again, now that he's just completed his canoe paddle through the Florida jungle. This was a trip that turned out to be even more exciting and eventful than anybody could have predicted. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to contact@viewpointsplus.net or call us at 585-258-0333 and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpey and Peter Torpey in partnership with WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.viewpointsplus.net. You can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Viewpoints Plus. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day.